turn to 1 John, and we'll finish up 1 John tonight, Lord willing. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Just keep me on here, brother. I might can fool with the batteries right now. All right, 1 John chapter 5. Amen. I got my roof tied up. I've been doing roofing and got my roof tied up where it rained hard last night. I only had a little leak. So I got still got to tear off a little bit more, and then it's done. Hallelujah. Been doing most of it just little by little, trying to get her done. Been hot, I know that. Been hot on that roof. About 130 degrees up there. And thank God Lord's been good. Amen. Been good to me. And then we get a nice breezy day, nice cool day. I didn't even get on the roof today. Didn't even get on. I know my neighbor's thinking, why is he getting on that roof when it's like 110 degrees? But anyway, 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. And the Bible talks about making God a liar. And when the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I don't want to make God a liar, because he's not a liar. God's not a liar. If God makes promises, that's why you read your Bible and you study your Bible. God makes promises, and you can hold God to his promise. And you can say, Lord, you said, Kayla quoted the verse a minute ago, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And you can take God's word, and God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I mean, you can get off drugs, I did. You can get off drinking, I did. You can get off all that mess, and God straightened out your life and teach you how to read, teach you how to write, teach you all those things. And the Lord helped me. And God can do all, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And there's times where I wanted to run. I wanted to run from problems. I wanted to run from things. But you got to stand. You got to stand. The Bible says stand, therefore, having done all to stand, stand therefore. I mean, make a stand. And make a stand that you're going to stand for what's right. And most people run from problems. And you can't run from it. They're always going to follow you. They're always going to be there. You got to stand. And you got to take God at his word and say, Lord, you said I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. You said, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will supply. Amen. And I've seen God do it over and over again. And, man, I know God's able. I know he is. I know he's able. And the Bible talks about making God a liar. I don't want to make God a liar. And when you get to heaven, you're saved, you're going to get to heaven, and you're going to say, well, Lord, how come you didn't do this? How come you didn't? He'll say, you didn't trust me. You didn't trust me. You got to trust. The Bible says, trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. God's a path director. He directs your path. And he's got your pathway already directed out, and your life is like a tree. It goes up. It all depends on which way you go. And you pray about which way to go. It always comes out right. And you just keep getting stronger and stronger. And the tree gets bigger and bigger. And God will bless you. But most people don't do that. Most Christians don't do that. What they do is they run from their trouble. They run from their problems. They don't stand. They don't trust God. And, you know, it's something we can trust God with our soul, but we can't trust him with our life. I can trust him with my life, my wife, my children, my grandchildren. I can trust him with everything. Church. That's why a lot of time we don't have a program. I like to see Lord move. I want to see God do something. Amen. I always wanted to see God do. I don't want to say, okay, this is what we're going to do this. This is what we're going to do. That. We're going to do this, do this, do this. I want to see God move. And if God wants to interrupt things, fine. Fine. If he wants to interrupt it, fine. Let's do it. Let's go his way. Amen. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And that's the problem with most people. They don't believe the record God gave of his Son. Right. And a fellow just called me a little while ago. He said, does God love everybody? I said, well, he proved his love already. A man rejects that love, he's going to face his wrath. And he says, well, the guy said, he said, man, how can he love these hateful people I work with? I told him, I said, if Jesus Christ came back right now, they'd crucify him again.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Jesus Christ did everything perfect on this earth and loved people, helped people, and the religious crowd hated his guts. And they would kill him again if they had opportunity. And they will kill Christians. Muslims will kill Christians. Catholics will kill Christians. And they said, well, I thought Catholics are Christians. No. I'll never forget, I worked with a bunch of Russian Jews. And they were roofers. They were good roofers. And I was down in Baltimore with them. And I'm working on a roof with them. And I went up and I said, and it finally hit me, these guys are Jews. And they were Russian. And they spoke in Russian. And I went up to them, about four of them. I said, you guys are a bunch of Jews. And they backed up and had their hatchets. And they went, yeah, what about it? I said, I love you guys. I love the Jews. And they said, oh, you do? I said, yeah, I love the Jews. I want to see them saved. I said, you all know Jesus Christ. And he thought because they were Jewish that I hate them. And see, Jews, when I said I was a Christian, they connected that to be Catholic. Yeah. And I wasn't Catholic. Amen. I'm not Catholic. Amen. Amen. It says, this is the record, verse 11, that God hath given to us eternal life, and his life is in his Son. So remember, God said, I'm not a liar. God gives eternal life. You say, are you saved right now? I am saved right now. If you're saved, you are saved right now. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm saved. There's times I don't feel like. Your flesh is not saved yet. You know what the Bible says? When the Lord comes back, he's going to change our vile bodies. These bodies are vile. He says he's going to change our vile bodies and fashion it like onto his glorious body. His glorious body, he walked through walls. He could eat without gaining any weight. What a blessing. And he's going, man, you're going to have a glorified body that can fly. You're going to have a cape on. And you're going to have wings. They always show you in movies that angels have wings. Angels don't have wings. Angels don't have wings. You say, well, they said it in the movies. He just won his wings. You know, what was that movie? Wonderful Life. You know who has wings? The Bible tells you. Cherubims and seraphims. They have wings. But angels don't have wings. He said, would they earn them? No. If an angel, you know, the Bible says that we entertain angels unaware. It's possible. An angel, you know, I've had some things happen where you wonder if that was, who was that? They disappear. They're gone. Hope it wasn't a fallen angel. Amen. You'll get that in a minute. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. There's no eternal life outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
You cannot get to heaven outside of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
It's not through Muhammad. It's not through Buddha. It's not through Confucius.
That's right.
And not through no religion. Not through the Baptists. You can't get to heaven outside of Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 10? He said, I am the door. He says, I am the door. But he also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. When a person starts saying, when I talk to people, they say, well, I'm working on it. You're working on what? What are you working on? Oh, I'm getting there. You either have it or you don't. The Bible says in John 3:36, he that hath the Son hath what? He that hath not the Son of God shall not see light. But the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3:36. I mean, you either have the Son or you don't. And religion always says, well, we're working on it. We're trying to clean it up. We're trying to get. Now, I grant you this. When you come to church, you get in the Bible, God starts cleaning you up. But when it comes to eternal life, it's instantaneous. It's boom, that quick. It's just like a baby being born after 9 months. You know, that's why the Bible says some plant, some water, God give the increase after 9 months. But, you know, the baby's in the little incubator in the mama's belly, and that baby's growing, and somebody's witnessing somebody. That's why you keep witnessing, keep telling people, giving out tracts, and people, you know, and what God will do is start working on somebody's heart. And don't give up and praying. So, Nathan's grandma came by yesterday, and I was talking to her, and I said, I didn't ask her if she was saved, but Nathan, when she left, I said, you going to come to church? She said, yeah, I've been thinking about it. And when she left, Nathan said, she's Catholic. I said, making the difference, she can get saved. I mean, he knows that. He knows it. But pray for Nathan's grandma to get saved. That'd be a blessing. And that, but that would, one person getting saved in the family could sweep through the whole family. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. Real simple. One syllable words. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you want life, get the Son. If you won't want life, don't have, you won't have the Son. These things, great verse in your Bible. You need to underline it, mark it, mark the thing in your Bible. You need to memorize this verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Know. God doesn't want you to walk around saying, I hope I'm going to heaven. I think I'm going to heaven. I hope I'm going. I don't know if I'm going. I'm working on it. I'm trying to get there. All that stuff. You either have it or you don't. God's not a liar. When the Lord says he'll save you, he's not a liar. You say, what about, can't you jump out of Jesus' hand? Can't you jump out of his hand? Can't you lose your salvation? No, you can't. Somebody give me a verse on why you can't lose your salvation. Somebody give me a verse. Anybody? Yeah, Alex. One of the greatest and strongest verses on not losing your salvation is in 1 John. It's one of the greatest verses. Now I got y'all looking. See, before you're listening, now you're looking. Yeah, brother, Eric. 1 John chapter 3, what? Stand up and read it. Alex is looking for it. Notice that. Underline that. His seed remaineth in him and he cannot sin. I can't sin. I'm sinless, but I do sin. Say, wait a minute. Isn't that double talk? My soul can't sin. Once I got saved, God separated my soul from my flesh. My soul can't sin, but my flesh sins every day. Your thought, see, that's where people think, I've done lost it, man. I'm thinking of wicked things. I got things in my mind. And what happens is, what will help clean up your mind is the Word of God. Amen. Your stuff is still there that you put in there from years going by. My brother used to give me triple rated X movies I used to watch as a kid. I used to see all that stuff, all the X-rated, triple X-rated junk, that movies and everything. I had it in my head. But what cleanses it is the washing of the water of the Word. What it does, it keeps it down. It suppresses that mess. That stuff can come up. If I quit reading my Bible and stuff, that old man pop up again. That old stuff will start popping up. And sometimes it tries to stick up its ugly head, even now. And what I got to do is the Word of God. It says the seed remaineth in him and he cannot sin. That's your soul. Now, we read over in 1 John 1, 10, it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That's not a contradiction in the Bible. One's talking about the flesh, one's talking about the soul. Look at it again. Somebody give me another verse on the seed. On the seed. The seed, man has the seed. The woman has the egg. When God put his seed inside you through the Holy Ghost, his seed, that's why you can become a son of God. His seed is in there. And, you know, we sing that song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. The seed, as you read the Word of God, the seed grows. Just like a baby, that seed grows, and then the baby's born, and then that baby starts looking more like the mama and daddy, starts eating on its own. And the more you read the Word of God, the more you get in the Word of God, you start, you know, you start more thinking more like him. You start thinking about like Jesus. Somebody else give me a verse on the sea. Yeah. Read it. Verse 9, for the word, talking about the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 4. See, what God does, once you get in him, he puts a seed inside you, and then he seals you. Ephesians 4:30. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. You're saved forever. Amen. God seals his seed inside you, and he cuts and he does operation on you, Colossians chapter 2. And everybody in here knows that. Unless you're visiting with us, you don't know that. But God does that, and he puts a seed inside you. All right. Brother, you had your hand up. Brother Joe, you had your hand up. What was it? All right, give me one on eternal security. Amen. Romans 8:38-39. That's one of the greatest verses right there. Nothing can separate you from God. Nothing. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You might not walk with the Lord like you're supposed to, but God has ways that he tells you what we've just read. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereupon you're sealed to the day of redemption. But God has a way of chasten his children. And then the Bible says, if you're without chastisement, it says, then you're a bastard and not his children. And a bastard is a child without a father. And God is our father. Now, go back to 1 John chapter. You got something? Go ahead.
You were just saying 2 Corinthians 7:1.
2 Corinthians 7:1. Yeah. It says, now, 2 Corinthians says, now the works of the flesh are these. Therefore. Go ahead.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Amen.
Which said about after being saved.
After you get saved, God expects you to walk with him. Yeah, good.
Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom you trust, after ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of salvation, in whom also after you believe, you are sealed
to the day of redemption.
Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen. Sealed. See, you're ruined now. After you got saved, you're ruined.
Amen.
You'll never have no peace outside of fellowship with God.
That's right. Amen. You're right.
I'm serious. You're ruined.
Amen.
And you'll think sometimes you'll feel like you lost your salvation. The devil will tell you you're lost. See, I always tell people the devil never makes you doubt something you don't have. After you're saved, the devil will try to make you doubt something you had. He always tries to make you doubt. But if you ask Jesus Christ to save you, you're saved. And you ruined yourself. You say, you know, right after I got saved, this is no lie, God is my witness. Right after I got saved, the thought came in my mind, after I asked Jesus Christ to save me, the devil right there whispering in my ear saying, oh, man, you like the women, you like the drugs, you like this, you like that. Man, you done ruined yourself. I went, oh. And then I realized, hey, man, that's just the devil trying to. Back to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. God wants you to know it. Every child wants to know their daddy. And what happens is they don't get to know him, they'll get bitter at him. And God wants you to know him. And the Lord's saying, come on to me, and I'll give you rest. And if a child doesn't come to him, what is that child? If a child doesn't come listen to his father, what is it? It's rebellious. It's a rebellious child. My wife said to me today, she said, you know, we try to train even our grandkids to listen to us so they don't run out in the street. And she was just, she's following this lady that was in a fire. She's on, I guess on Facebook, Charity Payton knew her. And she, her and her husband woke up in the middle of the night and their house was on fire. Two of the children died. One child today, that's why I guess I couldn't hardly do anything. They said the little girl, 9 years old, my wife showed me a picture of her, had both her legs cut off today. Because the fire was so bad on her legs that they had to amputate them. 9 years old. Their last name was Henry. And the woman, she plays the piano, and she was all burnt up, her arms, everything, her face. She went down into burn unit of the children's hospital and started playing the piano and singing so the kids could hear her. And she said, I'm not bitter. I still love Jesus Christ. Burying two babies. There was 2 and 4 years old. But what happened was that little baby, 2 years old, they were yelling for the baby to come out, and the baby went right back into the fire, thinking that mother or somebody was in there. You know, you're God's child. You need to learn to listen to him because he knows best. It says, this is the confidence, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know, notice it says know, if we know that he heareth us, I know God hears us. I know God hears me when I pray. But he doesn't always answer according to what I want. He answers yes, no, or not now. It's not audibly, but God will say, not now. If you know you didn't get an answer, it's not now. Or maybe it's no. I'm going to tell you something. God is a good father. He loves you more than you ever know. I don't care who you are, what color you are. I don't care what creed you are. He loves you. You're his child. And you don't put confidence in him and trust him. You're a rebellious child. And we wouldn't put up with rebellious kids. But God does. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have this petition that we desire of him. You can pray, the petition is up before him. God's got the petition. Your prayers written down. Your prayers are written down. God has books, and the petition is before him, and Jesus Christ is there, and the devil's there, arguing the case, whether you should be blessed or not, and you know what? God still blesses us, even though we're rebellious at times. He's still good to us. You're breathing, and the petition is there. But you know what? God ain't going to bless and give your petition to a rebellious kid. Now, it's not up to me to say what he does. He does what he wants. I don't know exactly if he would or not. But I know this. God's blessed me in spite of me. He's given me things in spite of me. And sometimes I even say, God, why are you so good to me? I don't deserve this. I don't deserve your blessings. The petition is there. Let's stop right there. Brother Ken.